We're reviewing how some of the offensive linemen did this week at the Senior Bowl, as well as which players I'm going to have to go back and watch the tape on because they popped up on my radar this week. And we'll also be doing a Senior Bowl only of mock draft targets for the Atlanta Falcons.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, a.k.a. Mr. Drew, a.k.a. Sirius Black, and of course, the most humble host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of Locked On Sports Atlanta. And today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs, who are going to help you find the candidates that you want to talk to faster and for free. So post your job for free at linkedin.com/LockedOnNFL. And guys, thank you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen. Of course, it's free and available Monday through Friday in a variety of podcast platforms, including YouTube. If you subscribe to Locked On Falcons on YouTube, you will get the video version of the podcast the night before the audio drops. And of course, you can always check us out on your Roku and Amazon Fire TV by downloading the Locked On Sports Atlanta app. So guys, we are wrapping up a week of Senior Bowl practices and made it through my first Senior Bowl. And we'll sort of start out today talking about some of the players that I went into this week, trying to keep an eye on and sort of how they fared, primarily focusing on the offensive line. We'll talk about a couple of pass rushers. Then later in the episode, we'll talk about some pass rushers that I was less familiar with coming into the week that I'm going to have to go back and check the tape on, and a couple of skill positions, a corner, a running back as well, that I'm much more interested in as potential maybe Falcons targets a little bit later. And speaking of Falcons targets, we'll also be doing a Senior Bowl only mock draft, looking at some round 2, 3, and potentially some round 4 and 5 targets for the Falcons that I think make a lot of sense for this team when you guys are doing your mock draft simulators as the rest of this process goes, and sort of how those guys sort of helped or hurt their stock throughout the week. So without further ado, let's jump into some of these offensive linemen. And on the interior, let's talk about John Michael Schmitz of Minnesota, the center. I think he probably was one of the biggest risers of this week, just looked really solid. A lot of people had him as the top center in this draft class going into the week. I think he potentially confirmed that in terms of the true centers. There's maybe a couple of other guys that maybe some guard tackle converts that may be in the mix, including one Cody Mock of North Dakota State, who was a left tackle there, but got the bulk of his work this week at left guard. Also got some center reps in addition to some tackle reps. I thought Mock had a good day one, wasn't as good on follow-up days, but I think he showed everything that you wanted to see, that he's a plug-and-play starter and potentially has 5 position versatility. But I think primarily teams are going to be looking at him as an interior player as opposed to a tackle at the next level. But I think he's certainly solidified himself as a potential top 50 pick. Going out to the tackle position, which you guys know that we've been talking about, was where I think the Falcons are most likely to, if they're going to draft an offensive lineman this year, is probably going to be a swing tackle candidate. There were several guys going into this week that I was keeping my eye on. You know, Blake Freeland was one out of BYU, had a slow start on day one, but I think got better as the week wore on. Wasn't a great week for him, but I think he did get better as the week wore on. I think that's something that you look for. Matthew Bergeron of Syracuse, I think, had some ups and downs, but overall a solid week for him. I thought Jalen Duncan helped himself a lot, where he kind of had a down season and I think maybe solidified himself in sort of that second tier of offensive tackles that will go on day two. And then the huge guys that I didn't think were necessarily Falcons targets, but I just was curious to see how these guys would do in practice. That was Darnell Wright from Tennessee, DeJuan Jones from Ohio State. Wright was a little up and down throughout the week, but, you know, certainly is a physical blocker. Sometimes that got the better of him going up against some of the quicker guys. And DeJuan Jones had an interesting week, really showed out on day one. And then, you know, kind of disappeared for day two. And there was a lot of scuttlebutt, a lot of speculation among, you know, various scouts on where he went to. Then finally showed up on day three to watch practice. So I'm sure that will cause a lot of speculation on sort of where he went in his off time, But We'll see how that goes. But DeJuan Jones is a powerhouse of a human being. Basically came into the week and said, look, I did what I needed to do, probably potentially solidified himself as a first round, back half of the first round type of talent in this. So we'll see if his disappearing act helps or hurts his stock. But switching gears to the defensive side of the ball, in terms of guys that I really think helped themselves, were Keon White, the edge rusher from Georgia Tech. I think was probably projected by some folks to be like a third, fourth round guy. I know Mel Kiper put him in his first round mock a week or two ago. I don't quite see that, but I certainly think he probably helped himself to be a potential second round guy. And I think really kind of fits what the Falcons are looking for now with Ryan Nielsen, probably some of those bigger edge rushers. And White, looked pretty good. I was watching him on day three, doing some drops into coverage. So he's a guy that I think, can do a lot of different things in addition to rushing the quarterback and stopping the run with his size and his frame. So certainly a guy that I think helped himself this week, who I was like fine on going into the week. But I think certainly is a guy that I'm coming out of this week feeling a lot better about in terms of his NFL potential. And Keanu Benton was another one I think really solidified himself as probably a second round guy. I would be very shocked if he doesn't go in the top 50 at this point in time, just in large part due to the fact that I don't think there's really that many good D tackles in this draft class. I think it's like once you get past Jalen Carter and Brian Bracy and Siaki Ika, I think you can make a very easy case that Keanu Benton is probably the next best guy based off of what I have seen from this draft class. And I think Benton had a good week of practice, wasn't always dominant each and every day, but there were some days where he was absolutely annihilating some of that interior offensive line competition in some of these practices. So overall, I think these guys, some of these guys stood out, some of these guys helped themselves. We'll see, if any of these guys wind up becoming Falcons. I'm certainly going to keep my eye on Jalen Duncan and Keon White and Keanu Benton as guys. I would love Cody Mock. I just feel like he may be a late first round pick, so I don't know if we'll have a chance to get him, but we'll see how that goes. And we'll talk about some guys that I'm going to have to go back and check the tape on, because I came into the week knowing that they existed. I knew their names because I know the guys that were going to the Senior Bowl, but in terms of guys I had really not gotten much look at, came in and impressed me, and I'm going to be going back and digging through the tape, and we're going to be talking about a couple of pass rushers as well as some skill position players on both sides of the ball as we continue today's episode. But guys, we're talking about hiring players for your upcoming football team. Maybe you're want to be a small business that wants to hire the right people for your small business, and you got to check out LinkedIn Jobs, where you can quickly attract and hire the most qualified candidates by matching with the people who have the right skills, values, and experience to help you achieve your goals. And you can put a free job post up in minutes in front of over 800 million member profiles on the network to find the most qualified candidates. With LinkedIn Jobs, it's easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications all in one platform. That's why small businesses rate LinkedIn number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs is going to help you find the qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster. So post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. So let's talk about checking the tape, right? And by that, I mean some guys that I'm like, okay, like I need to go back and scrounge up some tape on these guys because I knew very little about them. I knew they were, players. I saw them on the Senior Bowl rosters, but I didn't know much about them. And, now I'm going to go over the next, few days and weeks, see if I can scrounge up as much tape as I can to see sort of if their film during the season matches some of the things I saw during this week of practice. For the national team, I got three guys and three guys for the American team that I'm going to be checking the tape on. The national team is all, D linemen, edge rushers, right? And the first guy that stood out to me was Nesta Jade Silvera. I know Jarvis was a big fan of him. Jarvis Davis, of course, of ATL Day Ones, which you guys can check out as part of Locked On Sports Atlanta on your preferred podcast platform. But he was a guy that stood out to both me and Jarvis early on. He's kind of a squatty nose tackle, but did a great job in a lot of the one-on-one drills when it came to getting leverage and resetting the line of scrimmage and showcasing that power. It was just really hard to move him. And he's one of those guys that like kind of reminded me of Corey Peters, not quite the same size as Corey Peters, But Corey Peters was a guy that was like, you know, a good college pass rusher, but was like, you know, very thick in his lower half, using those great scouting terms when it comes to that stuff, thickness. And sort of we saw Corey Peters leave Atlanta, where he was playing more of that 4-3 sort of attacking style, and, you know, spend a decade basically playing for the Arizona Cardinals, playing more of a 3-4 nose tackle. And I feel like Nesta Jade Silvera is one of those guys that could do similar to that. I know he's a Miami transfer, so I'll be curious to go back and not only look at his Arizona State film from this past year, but maybe going back and seeing what he did at the U earlier in his career. Another edge rusher was Adetomiwa Adebare, Adebare, the edge rusher from Northwestern, and I thought he showed, I'll be able to get that pronunciation right at some point. You know, I thought he showed some good inside-outside versatility in terms of being able to, you know, they lined him up in a lot of these one-on-ones. They line you up, you know, edge one snap, you know, three tech, another snap, one technique. So he was a guy that I thought won reps at all three techniques. So I'm just going to be curious to go back and look at him. He's kind of a squatty edge in terms of one of those bigger edges. So that may be able to play both inside and outside at the next level. And that's going to be a guy that I do want to go back and look at just to see how he was winning at Northwestern throughout his career. So that's another guy. And then Lonnie Phelps, the edge rusher from Kansas, you know, kind of an undersized guy, but he, you know, he was probably one of the more consistent speed rushers in terms of winning reps against certain guys that really couldn't handle his speed in some of these one-on-ones. And so he's another guy that I'm going to go back and look at, maybe a little bit undersized for what I think the Falcons are looking for, given the Ryan Nielsen style and sort of the, those Saints style edge rushers that tend to be a little bit bigger than, you know, 240, 250. But you know, I think he showed enough for me to be like, okay, I'm gonna keep an eye on Lonnie Phelps moving forward. To the American team, another interior D lineman was Zach Pickens out of South Carolina. And Pickens was a guy I watched a little bit during the season, mostly on Saturdays live during games, a couple of times watching South Carolina. And just, you know, I was hearing some early buzz on him being like maybe like a top 50 pick. And I didn't see that when I was watching those games live. But he did enough in a lot of these American practices, really popping as a power rusher, to me to go back, okay, I'm definitely going to have to revisit some of this Zach Pickens film. And a teammate of his at South Carolina that I'm definitely going to have to check out is Darius Rush, the cornerback out of South Carolina. I know Cam Smith was kind of the guy that came into the season with a lot of hype, and I'm curious to sort of go back and look at the guy that lined up across from him in Darius Rush, particularly on day three, got his hands on a bunch of passes. From what I saw, I wasn't really keen on, you know, the one-on-ones with the wide receivers and cornerbacks and nor the team drills. But every time I looked over there, it seemed like Darius Rush was breaking up a pass. So he's a guy I'm very curious to go back and look at, because I kind of remember way back in the day when Mississippi State had two corners. One of them was Darius Slay and the other one was, I'm blanking on who it was. He played for the Bucks a couple of seasons. And I remember being very high on the Bucks guy. And Darius Slay wound up being the better pro. And I'm kind of wondering if that's kind of a Cam Smith, Darius Rush situation. So I want to go back and watch more Cam Smith, and I'm definitely going to be checking out Darius Rush when I go back and watch that South Carolina film. And then the last player that I got to check the tape on was running back Tajay Spears from Tulane. He just kept popping, you know, all the time, like all the team drills, like he just seemed like to be busting so many runs. And I know he had a big game against USC. I checked out of that game watching it live because I was like, oh, USC's up a million points. And of course, USC's defense let them down. And Tulane was able to come back in that game. And from what I understand, it was a lot of that was Tajay Spears doing that. So that is a game I definitely want to go back and revisit and see some of these other Tulane games, because he was a player that had a lot of juice in these practices. And you guys know that we've been talking about the Falcons potential need for another running back to add some depth and getting that sort of lightning bug to combine with Tyler Algier's thunder to get that sort of 1-2 combination. And Tajay Spears, I think he was listed at like 195, somewhere around there. I don't remember exactly what his Senior Bowl weigh and weight was, but that was a guy that I'm like, okay, like he showed me something that like he's definitely on the list of guys that I might be, you know, really looking to, you know, maybe round three, round four, for, you know, a sort of change of pace running back to tag team with Tyler Algier to get that, you know, speed guy alongside the grinder that Algier is. So those are the six guys that I'm definitely going to be checking the tape. I'm sure there will be plenty of other guys. I'm sure I will be going through some of the Shrine Bowl standouts because I know the Falcons are probably going to target a bunch of those guys on day three of this upcoming draft. So got a lot of film to get through, you know, over the next coming weeks as we get geared up for the combine, which is the next sort of bullet point on the draft calendar. At the end of February, early March. So looking forward to that, and we'll see sort of what I think about some of these guys maybe by the time we get there. But we'll wrap up today's episode, guys, talking a little bit mock drafty, right? And, you know, talk about some of these Senior Bowl guys and sort of where I kind of project them in terms of the rounds that I think the Falcons could be looking at some of these guys as you guys do your mock draft simulators, and they have certain guys being projected as like a fourth round pick. And I'm like, no, that guy's going to second round. So we'll talk through some of those guys as we wrap up today's episode. But before we get there, guys, you know, since we're talking Senior Bowl, got to plug the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. If you missed any of the coverage we did all week long here on Locked On NFL Draft, I believe I appeared on a couple of episodes. The live shows at 9 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you check those out on YouTube on the Locked On NFL Draft channel. And also check out Locked On NFL Draft on, you know, your preferred other podcast platforms to get all sort of the week reactions and reviews of this Senior Bowl week, since we had so many Locked On guys down in Mobile for this week. So check out Locked On NFL Draft on your preferred podcast platform. And also go to TurboTax and don't do your taxes. And you can meet with an expert who will do them for you. TurboTax experts can relieve you from the stress of taxes and file for you so that you can do not taxes. Show your eyes things that are not taxes. Unpack a moving box of not taxes. Taste not taxes. Sing not taxes a lullaby. Hope not taxes. Sleep through the night. Grab a saddle and ride not taxes into the sunlight. With TurboTax, an expert will do your taxes from start to finish, ensuring your taxes are done right, guaranteed, so that you can relax. It feels good to be done with your taxes, doesn't it? Come to TurboTax and don't do your taxes. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Intuit TurboTax, full service products only. Video meeting while expert does your taxes required. See guaranteed details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. So wrapping up today's episode, guys, let's do a little bit of mock drafting, right? And, you know, this is more not focus on, you know, what the various simulators and big boards that you guys do on the various websites, but looking at, you know, someone who's pretty plugged into the NFL and Dane Brugler and sort of his top 15 positional rankings, and sort of looking at where he had guys stacked on his board going into the Senior Bowl week that came out earlier in January on theathletic.com, and looking at some guys that I think helped themselves, maybe moved up and down the board, you know, up or down a little bit, and sort of basing it on where guys kind of typically go in the draft for each position. For example, like over the last 5 years, on average, 4.4 edges are taken in the first round. So, you know, the guy who's fifth on Dane Brugler's edge rusher ranking, which is Nolan Smith of Georgia, you know, I would see that guy typically as an early second round talent in terms of where I would project he would go in the draft. And then you look at round two for edge rushers, on average, 3.8 edge rushers go. So, you know, the eighth ranked edge rusher on Dane Brugler's board, which is Will McDonald of Iowa State, who was at the Senior Bowl, I would say, okay, that's a late second round guy. And in this case, if I think Will McDonald helped himself, you know, maybe solidified himself as a mid, possibly even an early second round guy. So it's not meant to be comprehensive or definitive, just something to think about when you're doing your mock draft simulators and you're seeing certain guys being mocked in round four. I'm like, no, that guy's going to go in round two. So, you know, as far as round one goes, you know, there was really nobody at the Senior Bowl that is in the mix to be a top 10 pick, at least for the Falcons. You know, maybe if Von Weatherspoon, the cornerback from Illinois, you know, he was slated to go, but he pulled out. Tyree Wilson, the edge rusher from Texas Tech, you know, he was also a guy that pulled out of the Senior Bowl. Those would be two guys that are Senior Bowl guys that could have been mocked to the Falcons at eight, but nobody else really, from what I can tell. And then, so, you know, we'll move to round two in terms of plenty of guys, I think, are certainly potentially on the Falcons' radar. If they're looking for, you know, D-line help, Keanu Benton, who we talked about earlier, the D-lineman from Wisconsin, Will McDonald, the edge rusher from Iowa State. I think Derek Hall is a guy that kind of solidified himself as a second-round guy I think it was like 13 or 14 on Dane Brugler's rankings, which probably corresponds to a third round pick, but I think had a good week. I know McDonald and Hall probably a little smaller than maybe the Falcons are looking for at that edge rusher position, but certainly guys I think make a lot of sense if they go, you know, say corner, if they go Devon Witherspoon in round one and they want to get an edge rusher in round two. Those are two guys that were at the Senior Bowl this week that I think make a lot of sense. If they want to go interior D-line, Keanu Benton makes a ton of sense. If they want to go offensive tackle, let's say, you know, in the world where Caleb McGarry's gone, again, Jalen Duncan out of Maryland, I think makes a ton of sense potentially for them. If they are, you know, fed up with Drew Dahlman at the center position, I think John Michael Schmitz, the center from Minnesota, kind of solidified himself as a round two guy. If the Falcons want, you know, a pass catcher, Rashee Rice out of SMU was a guy that I know a lot of people were big fans of, you know, at the cornerback position, say if they went, you know, with Tyree Wilson or a Miles Murphy or somebody else in round one and wanted to swing back from the corner, you know, Caillou Blue Kelly, cornerback out of Samford, Tyreek Stevenson, the cornerback out of Miami, are two guys that I think probably are round two types of guys. I don't know if either one of those guys, based off what I have seen, have sort of the elite man coverage skills that I think you're looking for in this Ryan Nielsen scheme, but, you know, we'll see. You know, I'll go back and see if I can go back and look at those reps to see how they handled some of those one-on-ones in that guy. I think both of those guys show physicality and ball skills, so that is certainly something to keep an eye on. If the Falcons want to go safety, you know, one of the top-ranked safeties on Dane Brugler's board was Christopher Smith, the safety out of Georgia, probably a potential second-round type of guy, was also down at the Senior Bowl, so that is also a potential target. Moving on to round three, Tajay Spears, a running back I mentioned earlier, Keon White, the edge rusher from Georgia Tech. Maybe Keon White has helped himself to be in the round two conversation potentially, but I kind of see him more as a late second, early third round, so he makes a little bit more sense where the Falcons are picking in the early part of round three. Zach Pickens, the D lineman from South Carolina. Byron Young, the interior defensive lineman from Alabama, I think could be a round three type of target. Blake Freeland, the offensive tackle from BYU, I think makes a ton of sense for the Falcons in the third round. Julius Brents, the cornerback from Kansas State, who, you know, people were just staring up at, you know, measuring it at over 6'3 this week, is a guy that I think makes sense maybe in round three. He wasn't, I don't think, initially on Dane Brugler's top 15 cornerback rankings, which corresponds pretty typically to the first three rounds in terms of three corners or 15-ish corners going in the first three rounds. So, you know, maybe Julius Brents now is a day two type of target for someone looking for one of those big, long corners in that regard. You know, moving to day three of the draft, in round four, a couple of running backs. Roshan Johnson, the running back from Texas who had to pull out after the first day. Kenny McIntosh, the running back from Georgia, I think make a ton of sense if they, you know, potentially could be third-round guys, but maybe they fall to fourth round. Xavier Hutchinson, the Falcons looking for a pass catcher that brings some size, adds a little bit of speed in terms of guys that were like 6'1 plus that, you know, ran over 19 miles per hour with the sort of GPS technology that was there at the Senior Bowl. You know, Hutchinson kind of checked that box, right? If they were looking for wide receivers maybe a little bit later in the draft, not necessarily round four, but round five, round six, Jaden Reed, the Michigan State receiver, you know, showed some speed. Trey Palmer of Nebraska, I think, had the top speed of any receiver on, I think, day two of the thing, with over 21 miles per hour. So certainly a guy that can move in that regard. And you guys know that I feel like the Falcons need to add more speed at the wide receiver position as opposed to going out there and getting more size at that position, as they have shown, in my opinion, over-reliance on, you know, these last couple of years. But we'll see. Andre Carter, another guy, the edge rusher from Army that got a lot of buzz going into the season, didn't quite solidify himself. Seems more like a project type of guy, but, you know, talked to a lot of people over at the Senior Bowl sort of talking about Andre Carter and where do you kind of take him. I think most people kind of agreed day three project, maybe fourth, fifth round type of guy, can come in, play special teams, get him into an NFL weight room where he can, you know, add a little bit more mass to his lower body and upper body that he wasn't able to do at Army due to, you know, their training, not necessarily training those guys to bench press offensive linemen, as I heard one person say, instead of, you know, to hike, you know, 12 miles in the summer heat in Afghanistan, is kind of what they're training those guys to be able to do. And so once Andre Carter gets a year or two in the NFL sort of training room, can add that mass that he hasn't necessarily been able to add over the last 4 or 5 years at Army, you could see him developing into a nice player. You know, looking at some deep defensive backs that I think could certainly be some depth pieces, some special teams guys. Riley Moss, a cornerback out of Iowa, looks like he could be a fantastic gunner in a world where the Falcons are moving on from, say, Mike Ford type of player. Riley Moss could easily slide into that role and be a special teams maven, in my opinion. Kayvon Merriweather, his teammate at Iowa, the safety, in Daniel Scott, another safety at Cal, were two guys that a couple people were talking about at the safety position that probably look like backups, but can, you know, contribute on special teams and, you know, could potentially step into that role if the Falcons choose not to re-sign Eric Harris this offseason. And you could have those guys come in and maybe be that fourth safety that can come in and add some depth and be some special teams contributors. So those are just a couple of names. Obviously, you know, there's, you know, what, 100 plus guys that were down at the Senior Bowl. I'm sure there are plenty of other names that I could mention here in terms of, you know, mocking to the Falcons, especially on day three of draft. But those are just a couple of guys that stood out to me looking over some of Dane Brugler's top 15 positional rankings, guys that were there, guys that weren't there, that I think are, you know, worth consideration for the Falcons. But I'm sure we'll have plenty of guys to keep an eye on, you know, over the coming months as we continue to break down the draft. Our next show will be next week. I don't know what I'll talk about, but we'll see if the Falcons have sort of solidified their coaching staff in the coming days. And, you know, we'll see what hires they make, particularly up front, to sort of, you know, finalize that unit as the rest of the NFL seems to be, you know, filling in some of these coaching vacancies, with the exception of the Indianapolis Colts, who seem to be dragging their feet especially hard. But we'll see how all that breaks down, guys. But certainly make sure you make Locked On Falcons your first listen. As we break that stuff down, I'm sure I'll maybe have some additional Senior Bowl content that I can come from next week as well. So that is the plan, guys. Make sure you make Locked On Falcons your first listen. Check out Locked On NFL Draft, Locked On NFL for your second listens, where you can get the daily conversations on the biggest stories in NFL. And you're certainly going to want to check out Locked On NFL this coming week as we get geared up for the Super Bowl. Oh, and now I'm remembering what I'm supposed to talk about. I'm supposed to do the positional breakdowns of the defense. That's the plan for next week. So we got D-line, edge, linebacker, corners, and safeties coming for you guys probably next week. So we'll get back into that next week. That's what I remember doing. So, yeah, that's what we'll do for your first lesson. And for your second lesson, check out Locked On NFL, Locked On NFL Draft. Check out Locked On Sports Atlanta, Locked On Hawks, Locked On Bulldogs, Locked On Braves, and more, all part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.